You got to understand that the Jesus that died for you, that rose again, when he's inside of you, he brought with him that resurrection power. And so what you need to understand, there is a life and a death. There is a death and a life that takes place in you when Christ gets in you. If you are a child of God, that, you know, I've heard people say, do you have the Holy Spirit? Well, if you've been saved, you have him. That don't mean you're walking in the fullness, right? You may not be walking in the Spirit-filled life, but you have him. You have him. I mean, Ephesians says early on that when you got saved, you received the down payment of salvation. You know what the down payment is? The Holy Spirit. That don't mean, then he gets to chapter 5 and says, so be filled with him. You've got the down payment of him, so you need to be filled with him. So I've always heard it taught, you either got, you know, have you, I know you've been saved, but do you got the Holy Ghost? No, if you've been saved, you got the Holy Ghost. You got him. That don't mean you're living the Spirit-filled life or walking in the Spirit-filled life, but you have him. But if you have him, if you've been saved, if you're his, then you have the Holy Spirit. You have Jesus Christ inside of you, and with that comes the resurrecting, life-giving power that causes your old man, to your flesh, to die to sin, and you to be raised to newness of life. And one day this body in the resurrection will follow what has already taken place spiritually inside of me through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And so you go back to the first verse, go back to verse 8. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Go to verse 9, please. But ye are not in the flesh. What? But you're in the Spirit. Do you understand that when, this is so amazing to me, that when the Spirit of God enters into this flesh realm, Stetton, then Stetton gets to enter into a spirit realm. Do you understand that we have access to things in the spirit realm? Even when Ephesians talks about all spiritual blessings in heavenly places that seated at the right hand of God, that is so deep and spiritual, but it's because God has opened up a realm that is in the spirit to the believer, because the Spirit got into this flesh realm, and it opens up this guy who all he's ever known is the flesh to now walk in a spirit realm that I used to not be able to walk in. Communion with God. I've been having a conversation with a guy a lot. He says, explain to me God talking to you. I mean, you just hear a voice just like I talk to you? No, not like that. He cannot comprehend. Do you know why? He's stuck in a flesh realm. How is it that you would come up to me and say, well, I felt like the Lord was telling me this? I heard the Lord say this, that I did this wrong and I need to repent, or that he was going to take care of me, or y'all all have did things like that to me, you know? You didn't hear the heavens open and a thundering voice that shook the mountains, no. You was in a spirit realm. It was the spirit realm. The Spirit got in your flesh realm so that now you can hear and see and walk in a spirit realm. If he's inside of you, here's what has happened. We've learned to live life as believers, knowing the truth that is in me, but unaware of the truth that is in me. Right? I'm talking about me too. I'm going to work unaware at times that, look, just nearly like I forget that the Son of God is inside of me. Right? Am I the only one that forgets sometimes that God is inside of me? And that I have access to an open spiritual heaven in which I can commune with God and see and perceive and hear. Right? It's like that verse where Paul in Corinthians, me and you, some of y'all had talked about it, you know, where in the Old Testament, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard. And I've heard so many preachers begin to explain the goodness of God. And they say, you know, he's so good, eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard the things that is store for you. Have you read the next verse? But for those who believe, it has. Eye hath seen and ear hath heard. Because when the Spirit of Christ comes into me, this fleshly body, now it's made alive to a spirit realm, and now I can operate, even as I'm here in this place, we have access into that. So that it's, but you're not in the flesh. Well, I feel like I'm in the flesh. I look like I'm in the flesh. My neck feels like it's in the flesh, right? But I have been opened and awakened. There's been access granted to the Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Next verse. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you. Do you see how many ins? In, right? So, you see the simple gospel in Galatians. He loved you. He died for you. And when you put faith in the Son of God, he comes into you. And this flesh is crucified with him. Now, Christ is in me. I'm not in this flesh as much as I am in this Spirit. One day the flesh will quit breathing. The heart will quit beating. But I'm going to keep on, because I am more in the Spirit than I am in the flesh. On my death day, I won't be defined by death. Because I have the Spirit of Christ in me, I'll be defined by life. And if I'm defined by life on the day that you bury me and put me in the ground, am I not defined by the Spirit in life today too? That's what he says. Christ in you. Christ, we've got to value it more than we do. And to value it more than we do, we've got to understand it better than we do. So, and, you know, you begin to talk about this, well, he's getting off into spiritual mysticism. Well, you can get too far into spiritual mysticism. Challenged. Even Paul, in Ephesus, they were spiritual. They even dealt with mysticism, okay? They were challenged by something that was too far, Gnosticism and this mystic. But you understand, there is a reality of where we are as the children of God. The access we have in the Spirit because Christ is in us. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Let's read this one. 2 Corinthians 13:5. And I want to tell you something about these deep mysteries of God right here, about how I'm in the, I'm here in the flesh, but I'm more in the Spirit than in the flesh. The flesh has died. That will always... Once you begin to walk in that in communion with God and be led by the Holy Spirit in it and walk through that in the Word of God, it's one of those things that you can always live and experience way better than you can articulate it. Right? Because that's the way the deep things of God are. There's so many Sundays. I know what's in me. How I'm going to tell you, I don't always know how to tell it. But I know what I've heard. Does that make sense? And so explaining it, being able to talk about it, is not as important as living it and experiencing it. And so we're walking through. Let's look at this one right here. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, unless he ain't. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates, or except you ain't in the faith. He don't say you need to check and see if you're saved. He says you need to, and you say, well, he does. You check and see if you're in the faith. But he says, if you really want to check and see if you're in the faith, what you've got to answer is you got to check and see if Christ is in you. Because if you're in the faith, Christ is in you. If you ain't in the faith, Christ ain't in you. So the question ain't, the best question, the root of every believer ain't, have I been saved or have I not been saved? Am I in the faith or am I not? Is Christ in me or is he not in me? Because if he is, I have been born again. If he is, I am in the faith. And if he is, I am saved if he is in me. Everybody wants to navigate. Did I pray the right prayer? Did I really mean it when I said it? Did I experience it like they did? When they tell their story of salvation, mine don't look like. We gauge whether we are in the faith. We measure it by every wrong standard. If everybody measured by if they're in the faith by answering one question in this life, is the Son of God living inside of me or is he not? That answers it all. It answers it all. So, I think we should answer that. I think we should answer that. I think that there are verses that when he is in you, when he is in you, there will be evidence that he is in you. So you examine and see if there is evidence in your life that he's in you. And if the evidence is there that he is in you, then the answer is, I am in the faith. But if there is no evidence that he is in me, then the answer is, I am not in the faith. It ain't what prayer you prayed. It ain't how you experienced it. You don't measure it by the way they got it in you. You don't measure it by whether you was a child or an old man. It is one question with one answer. Either Christ is in you or he is not in you at all. And if he is, you're saved and in the faith. So, let's look at some of this. I don't got many more verses. Just hang with me. Let's go John 15:5. John 15:5. I think. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me, two Wednesdays ago, and I in him tonight, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If you've been in church, if you are in church, and you are not fruitful, then he is not in you. Do you understand the whole illustration? They were probably walking through the Jerusalem of the engraving on the temple of a big vine. And he looks at them and probably says, or he says, probably looking at that, and he says, that's the way it is. I am the vine, and you're the branches. And if you're in me, if you're in me, there will be fruit on the branch. And if there is no fruit on the branch, you will be cut off. You'll be pruned first. Because he will make sure that you're fruitful. He will prune you before you're cut off. He will prune you. If he's not in you, then you are cut off. You're not attached. You're not in him. And he's not in you if there is no fruit. But if there is fruit, he is in you. And if there's a season of your life where there is no fruit, preceded by and followed by seasons where there are, then you probably went through pruning. But if there is no fruit, as the believer, no fruit. You look back, they wouldn't fruit then and wouldn't fruit then and wouldn't fruit then. Then he's not in you and you're not in the faith. You go back and look at the fruit of the Spirit. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Do you got peace? Do you got joy? Is there faith that naturally resides in you? The gift of faith that has grown in you? Righteousness. Look at the gifts of the Spirit. It is there if he's in you. If he's in you, it will be there. There may be seasons when it ain't and he's pruning you, but it will be there. It won't be void of it. So that, number one, you'll be fruitful. You'll be fruitful. I challenge you, read the fruit of the Spirit. Look at the fruit of in your life, how you treat your wife and your husband, and look at the fruit of how you value the things of God and how you value the gospel and how you value men's souls. Do you have love for mankind? These are the things you got to look at. Is there fruit? Is there fruit? Because if he's in you, it's impossible for him to be in you and you never not have no fruit. Because if you're a branch, you're attached to the vine, and he is potent. When Jesus is if a vine's purpose is to produce fruit, I'd be hard pressed to say that Jesus can't fulfill his own purpose. His own purpose is to produce fruit, and he's going to produce it in you because he makes you branches if you're in him. So number one, am I fruitful? Examine yourself to see if you're being a faith. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. More so, examine yourself to see if Christ is in you. And if you are, you'll be fruitful. You'll be fruitful. Let's go to Ephesians 3:17. Ephesians 3:17. And probably we'll follow with the next verse too, Miss Brandy. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, next verse, may be able to comprehend with all saints, what with all saints, not with all people, with all saints, because saints is where he is, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, next verse, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That blows my mind. I'm glad to know that if he gets in me, I can know things that I can't know. To know the love which you can't even know. It passeth knowledge. It passeth knowledge. Number two, if he's in you, there's going to be love inside of you, and you're going to know he loves you. He can't live in you and you not know he loves you. You know that? If you live your life and you cannot accept the fact that God loves you, it means you are still on the outside and not on the inside. It means he's still on the outside and not God on your inside. Now, I've struggled and I've heard the lies of the enemy that he don't love me, but I want to tell you something. There wasn't a day and time in my life where Satan won that victory over Jesus. I might have went seasons where I thought the Lord didn't love me, and the devil tell me that he don't love you. Look at you. Look at how you are. Look at how you are. But you know what? Every time eventually God would shut the mouth of the enemy and he would override him and say, yes, I do. The devil on the outside telling me that God don't love me will never be as powerful as God on the inside saying, Stetton, I love you. You'll have love and you'll know love and you'll know he loves you if he's in you. Somebody say amen. Mm-mm-mm. Let's do another one. Let's go to Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3:20. Mm-mm. We quoted this the other day. Revelation 3:20. Says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Not come into his house, but I will come inside of him. And I will sup with him and he with me. Mm-mm-mm. I will dine with him. Now let me tell you something that's beautiful here to me. Jesus, again, is speaking John's language, right? What's John thinking when he hears this? He remembers Jesus getting down and washing his feet, feeding him, breaking bread. One of the most pivotal times of the disciples' life. When most of them will not be at the cross, right? Most of them will not be there. A mama, all will turn their back nearly. And he's washing their feet, knowing they all, in the moment when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? In the one moment of Christ's loneliness, the only time the Son of God ever tasted loneliness, because he yielded and subjected himself to the flesh to become like us, even though he knew he was going there, he still washed their feet and he fed them. That's what John's thinking. And he says, I walked in a natural reality that I learned that even after he ascended in my old age, I can still walk in the same reality, but I can't do it in the natural. I got to do it in the spiritual. Just like he come in and we communed and we dined together, he does it in the spirit realm, and he does it because he's inside of me. If he's in you, they will be intimate communion with him. Okay? If he's in you, if Christ dwells in you, there's intimate communion. There's going to be times you neglect it. There's going to be times you forsake it. But if you're saying you're saved and you ain't never experienced it, you don't never know what it's like to be alone with God and to feel the presence to where you feel like he's sitting right there with you and you just know he's near. Now, there's a whole lot of times I try to go there and I don't find him there. But I want to tell you something. I can't tell you the time since I've been saved. I can't count the times that he was there, and the communion and the intimacy is unlike anything I can explain. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just me and the Lord. It may be on your best day. It may be during your most painful day. But you know he's sitting at the table with you, and it's just you and him in relation. If he's in you, there'll be communion. But if you find no communion in your life, he is not in you at all. Let's go to another. Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He would make known the riches of his glory, which is the mystery among the Gentiles. They didn't understand it. They didn't understand it, but it is Christ in you. Now they can understand. Now they can know what they could never even fathom, and that is Jesus in me, the glory. They never understood the language of glory that the Jews spoke of. They never understood the Shekinah. Samaritan, they didn't understand the glory, okay? There's a world that don't understand the glory. We in here talking about the glory of God. We in here saying, do whatever you do, even if it hurts me, as long as it reveals your glory. If I'm in the way of the glory, move me out of the way. Lord, you receive the glory that is rightfully due. You manifest your glory. And God, I want to see your glory. And God, I need your glory. Right? We don't. For all have sinned and come short of the what? Lost people don't understand the glory. You over here want to talk about the glory of God. They don't know what that is. It don't mean nothing to them. And the sad thing is there is churches that is more interested in the building mass crowds and to showing success than the glory of God. They will sacrifice glory to be the brightest and the biggest. They would rather have the riches of men in their accounts than the riches of glory before their eyes as they experience Christ in them. If the concept of the glory of God means nothing to you, then Christ ain't in you. Because if he's in you, you'll know something about his glory. It will mean something to you. Glory. Glory. You know something about the old times. That's what they say. You know, we get excited. Glory! And if it wasn't shouting in church, glory! Even if it was something little every day, well, glory. Glory. Because glory was everything. It was everything they did not know in their lost state because they fell short. But it is everything they come to love in God because Christ lived in them. I said I wasn't going to preach this tonight, but Christ in you, you will know glory. And you will want a greater glory. Because when Christ is in you and you experience his glory, you don't get enough of that. That's why you go from glory to glory. But you can't just go into the next glory. He's got to get you ready for the next glory. And you become all about this glory seeking, not self glory, but Christ glory seeking person in the earth. So you got men that want to suffer and die only. They will suffer terrible deaths if they'll bring him glory. They yield to suffering and to be a martyr for one thing, that is the one that lives inside of him's glory. And in that world, they don't even understand it. If he's in you, you'll know something about his glory. And if you don't, you won't. He's not in you. Let's go to another one. I need to hurry up. I got about two or three more. Fruitful, the gospel. Spirit realm to communion, glory. Okay, 1 John 4:4. Mm. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Next verse, please. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Next verse. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is of not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. We've done talked about love. We've covered that. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If he's in us, there's love. But we see, and this was manifested, we'll stop there because I got to get to two more. But there will be victory. There will be something overcoming about you when he's in you. You understand? There will be something in you. We've done discussed love, so I won't. We just read it, but I won't go back there. We did that in Ephesians 3:17. But let me emphasize the overcoming, the conquering, the victor. When Christ is in you, there's going to be something about you that you may not feel like an overcomer. You may not look yourself as an overcomer. But what you'll find is when life is at its worst with Christ in you, you find yourself overcoming. I've seen people who lost a child and said, I cannot do this. And you know what they begin to find? Is that they begin to overcome. They get sick and I cannot do this. But you know what they begin to find? They begin to find that they overcome. You may not feel like you are, but you find that you are. If he's in you, you're more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. I don't even know what that is. I have an idea of what a conqueror looks like, but I don't know what's more than that. But that's what you are. And you don't run around with your chest high. I'm a victor and I'm over. But I'll tell you what you are. You're Christ in you, and you find that you are a victor that overcomes. When hard times come, when the enemy tries to cause you to depart from the faith, you always end up rising above and overcoming, and you always end up tasting victory. In this life, even in the hardest of circumstances, you always find the taste of victory. It's one thing to enter into a circumstance and to be intimidated. That's normal. That's natural. We're going to do that. And nobody, you ought not boast and be proudful, but you will find the revelation that Christ in you, you will realize only because of him, you overcome. Because if you are overcome and he's in you, then to some degree he's overcome as well. Did you get that? If the enemy overcomes you and he's in you, then in some part he overcome Jesus as well. And that's why that don't happen. It may look bad and you might get down to your last straw and you may be losing. I tell people that I've said this a lot. Robert knows about this and it hit me. It hit me one time, this revelation. I watched this fighter, and he lost every round, and he looked horrible. But he hit that other joker and knocked him out cold. Who's the winner? You can lose every round, but you won't lose the fight. You can lose all 11 rounds. You can even be down at the end of the 12th round, but before the final bell rings, you will come out with the belt. You will win when Christ is in you. If I was going to insert that, I guess that'd be the place. Oh, let's do another one. Okay. Let's go. I'm not sure about this one, Brandy. 1 John 3:14. I wrote this down at some point. I don't remember. Two more, possibly. 1 John 3:14. Okay, that's not it. Let's do this. There's one more then. Let's do Philippians. Philippians, and then we're going to pray. I know the kids are probably, some of them's already come out. We're going to do one more, and we're going to pray. We know, you're still there, ain't you? I'll read it. I got it right here. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, Philippians 1:20, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. If Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, that means that in this life, whether it's in your living or your dying, regardless of what it is, he's going to be magnified. In other words, he's going to be seen. He's going to be enlarged, right? Ain't that what a magnifying glass does? It enlarges to the eye. You're able to see what is hard to see. The world will see him if he's in you. And it don't matter if you are in the middle of death, death's darkest hour, or if you are living your best life. It does not matter. The world will see him if he's in you. But you know what? The world will never see him in you if he's not in you. But if he's in you, he will be seen, whether life is good at the time or bad. People will see Christ in your life. They have to. Not because you're a good Christian, but because he's inside of you. Right? Because enveloped in you is God. So how can they not? He knew. Paul knew. He said, I know this. I'm going to keep going. I've got this hope, and I will not be ashamed regardless of what happens in my life. One thing I know, my purpose and my desire, and I will press forward, and I will approach anything that comes my way because I know my purpose is this. Christ will be seen in me, whether I'm dying or living. I wanted to share these with you because these are things that are evident when he's in you. And you look at yourself, and if Christ is in you, if these things are evident, if you know if your spirit is bearing witness and you can say, I'm with you, I know exactly, then that is Christ in you. And then you know what? You're in the faith. But if it's all foreign, I don't care if you've been baptized 100 times and you've said 100 sinner's prayers and you've been in church 30 years. If these evidence are foreign to you, he's not in you. Now, ain't nobody like hearing preaching like this hardly unless it's people that he lives in. If Christ is in you, you can tolerate this type of teaching. But if he ain't, you'll hate it. I can preach this in some churches and they wouldn't like it at all. It don't sound like what they've always heard centered on the gospel. But the core of it is Christ in me. And that's how we figure out if we're born again, if we're in the faith, if we've been saved, if we're a believer, if we're a Christian. Is Christ in me? Selah. Anybody have anything? Miss Brandy, would you play a song?